May it please God to bless the reading of his word to the profit of our souls this evening. Let us turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians and we'll read chapter 6. The Epistle of Paul to the Galatians and reading chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you, with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves, who are circumcised, keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So as we continue our meditation in the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, and this evening we'll just speak on the first two verses in the sixth chapter. That's verses 1 and 2 in the sixth chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians. And that reads, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. We see in these words the apostles' advice and desire how the church of God, those who are spiritual, should react to brethren. And remember, he speaks to them as brethren, not as enemies, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Now, we all have faults, I'm sure, and none of us are free from that. And that's really why the apostle goes on to say, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. It's always good to consider ourselves and assess our position. And as we realize before God how often we fail and how many mistakes we make and how sometimes we're overtaken in faults, that it gives us a right spirit in order to consider others. And so the apostle says here that we are to restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Now, again, it's an important word. The word restore really in the original means to help to put back together broken bones. Now, obviously, that means to be done very gently and very carefully, and not rush in and just do what might seem right at the first time, but to take care to do things right. And also, it means to restore. It doesn't mean to destroy. See, we may see the faults and we may think, well, I want to destroy that and get rid of it. Well, that's not the way that the apostle directs us. And clearly the way that the apostle directed things himself in his life. As we read in the other parts of the epistles, we see how the apostle directed himself. And so we should be concerned, therefore, to be blessed with, as the apostle says, a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And of course, we know that a meek spirit doesn't always come naturally, but it's good if we recognize the advice that the apostle gives to us. And when he wrote to the Philippians, and in the second chapter, he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then he says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now what a good example that is for us. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, again we have the blessed example of our Saviour. Clearly the Apostle Paul realized the importance of that as he sets it before us in the epistle to the Philippians, and also here, of course, in this letter to the Galatians. So let us remember the action to restore is not one that is to destroy. And then when James speaks in his epistle, he says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. And that's the James speaking. And it's good if we recognize that. You see, if we realize more of ourselves and how we fail, and that will give us a better judgment how to address those who we may think are overtaken in a fault, and may be overtaken in a fault, but they need to be restored in the spirit of meekness. And we have then the great and glorious example of the Saviour, and these words of the Apostle, but rather of James, not the Apostle, of James. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Well, it's easy, isn't it, to be an offender with a word, to speak something which is not meek, is not in the spirit of Christ. And so, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So very good that we read these words carefully. Often we can read part of such an admonition and not all of it. And the apostle tells us with regard to his position, he said, who is weak? And I am not weak. That's in the 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and 29th verse. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? His concern was to continually do that which was right and to turn away from that which was wrong. Well, then he moves on and says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And this really links with the first verse when it speaks of being overtaken in a fault, the burdens that that person who is overtaken. And it's good, therefore, if we're able to, as it were, enter into that position and therefore bear such a burden and desire that we might fully understand the position of the one who is overtaken in a fault. There may be many extenuating circumstances which perhaps we don't always understand and don't always appreciate. But if we can come alongside such a person, again in the spirit of meekness and desire to bear their burden, to share their burden and try and help them and encourage them. And again, remember, to restore is not to destroy. And as the apostle says, this is to fulfill the law of Christ. We have so much good instruction in the Word of God. Often it's perhaps opposite to what we think naturally. But the Word of God is here for our encouragement. And how did Paul react? Remember, he came to address the Corinthians. We know, of course, they had errors and did things which were wrong and it was necessary. And how did the apostle come to them? Well, he tells us in the 2nd of Corinthians and the 2nd chapter in verses 4 to 8. He says, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears." You see the position that the apostle was in. He knew what the Corinthians were like. He knew that they weren't doing those things which were right. But he came in this humble way. "Much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you." You see, the love of the brethren is a vital ingredient. And the love of the brethren will influence us in how we react. And so the apostle speaks on, "Not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he has not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him." What a blessing it is, isn't it, to have love one to another. And if we are to bear one another's burdens, it will be for that reason. Love one to another. You see, love is a great favour. It's a great blessing, and it's the gift of God to love one another and to desire urgently and earnestly their spiritual good, to pray for it, to come alongside them, to understand them, so that we may have the mind of Christ. Well, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, the church of God, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, may the Lord give us grace to hear the words of God.